Good morning, ladies. Happy to see all of you here today. I have the pleasure of introducing Allison Golden as our speaker today. Allie and I go way back to nursing school in down in Point Loma, and I'm so pleased to invite her up on this stage to speak. She's a Bible teacher, author. The Lord really just speaks to her, and I'm really excited what she has to share with us this morning.
Thank you. So happy to be here with you guys this morning. Let's see if I can open my laptop. Like Julianne said, my name is Allison Golden. I also go by Allie. I live in San Diego, so it was just a quick little 50-minute hour drive up this morning with a tiny bit of 5 traffic, but that's okay. I feel like there's never a time when you can go on the 5 from here to San Diego and not have some traffic. But I live in San Diego with my husband, Michael. We've been married for 6+ years now, which is so sweet. We met at Point Loma as well. And I went to nursing school there. I became a nurse. I still am a nurse. I work at Rady Children's, which is San Diego's children's hospital. And I've been there for 7 years as of this month, which is crazy. And I love what I do, but I do have the privilege of getting to be part-time as a nurse now because the Lord took me on a wild journey after graduating from college. And I started to share my faith on social media. And I started this Instagram page called Words Are Golden. And a friend had encouraged me to do it as I was just learning a lot from the Lord. And I had began to, like, do you guys follow Morgan Harper Nichols or know who she is? She does these like doodles and like these pretty graphics. And that was back in 2019. And I was like, I think I could do something similar to that. And so started sharing my faith on social media. And that turned into having opportunities to preach, having opportunities to write books. And so I've written 2 books. I've written a devotional and then a nonfiction book. And I have some for sale that you guys can purchase after if you would like to. But as I've been in kind of like an online ministry area now and in nursing, I also work for my church. My husband and I actually helped plant a church right after we graduated from college, and it's called Aloha Church, and we're both on staff. My husband's the worship pastor, and I do just like emails, social media, and then I teach occasionally as well. And we also, I promise you guys, I actually have a lot of free time on my hands. It sounds like I do a lot, but the Lord has given me so much margin, which is so sweet. And that's just what he does when he has like specific things for us to do in life. And we run San Diego Prayer House, which is a place of prayer and worship for San Diego, Monday through Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 in the mornings. And every other month, we do an all-day Saturday worship and prayer event that's from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I wanted to invite you guys to the next one. It's October 13th. It is so beautiful, like this place of prayer and worship where like 40+ churches in San Diego, Southern California are coming together and we're just worshiping the Lord together, and it's so beautiful and so fun. And the Lord is just really moving, I feel like, in San Diego, in Southern California, in Orange County. And so that's kind of what we're gonna talk about a little bit today. When I was planning and I asked Julianne, I was like, what do you think like they want to hear, or what should I speak on? And she kind of said this idea of maybe being bold in our faith. And so I came to the Lord and I was like, okay, Lord, like, what do you want to say to these women about what it means to be bold in our faith? And where he took me was actually something that might be a little surprising to some of you. So before I get started, I'm going to pray and then we'll dive in. Sound good? Jesus, I thank you for the women here. I thank you for their children. I thank you for their partners. I thank you for their families. And Lord, I thank you for this church where they get to come and be a part of the family of God, to be the body and to go out from this place and then be the body to their homes and their workplaces and the city of San Clemente and the areas around it. Lord, I just thank you for the lives represented in this room that carry you, that carry your spirit. And so, Lord, did you just speak today to your people who you love so dearly? Amen. So I'm sure that y'all have been feeling this a little bit, like there's been just like a move of the Lord happening in our world, in our country, and in California, and specifically in Southern California. I've seen, just being someone who's on staff at a church and who helps run like a nonprofit, like there is a hunger for the Lord right now, and it's been so beautiful. And with social media, and there's so many people that are just, you know, stating their opinion, and there's this, been this rise in people declaring their faith in Jesus, and it's truly been so beautiful. And I've seen these calls to action, such as like, okay, it's time to be bold in our faith. It's time to start sharing the gospel. The time is now. And I've been seeing that, and I'll be honest, it actually kind of gives me this response of like, whew, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that, because what I felt the Lord saying to me was that it can be easy to get caught up in saying, let's be outspoken about the gospel, and forget to be cultivating our own personal relationship with Jesus. And so I guess what I'm trying to say, and where I kind of want to go today, is that when we have a deep relationship with the Lord, boldness in our faith is automatically going to be a fruit that just is produced from our lives. It's not going to be something that we have to just try and do. I don't have to try to be bold. I am bold because of the Holy Spirit in me, because of the relationship that I'm cultivating in my own time with the Lord. And so I'm not saying that being bold is bad, and what I'm trying to say is just that the motivation behind the boldness is what matters and what the Lord cares deeply about. And so Jesus is so sweet, and he's the best, and he invites us into this intimate, deep, and personal relationship with him. And when we encounter his love, and when we experience like a transformation just from being in his presence and just from getting to know his love for us, we can't help but then share how our lives have been changed forever. And boldness just becomes something that oozes out from us, and it's not something that we're trying to be. Is that making sense? Okay, I wanna dive into two specific passages today, and then I'm gonna give you guys two practical takeaways, and then there's some discussion questions on the table that we'll dive into once I finish talking. But first passage we're going to look at today is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And before I read this, I want to paint the picture for you of what is happening. I did half my master's in seminary, and I just took a pause because, you know, sometimes the Lord says pause. So I have been learning just how to study the Bible in context, and it's been super sweet, super fun. And so I just want to paint the picture for you guys before we read this passage, because to me, this passage is kind of like a highly misinterpreted passage at times. And who Peter is writing to in 1 Peter, I didn't write it down in my notes, and I don't have my Bible with me, which I should. But Peter is writing to five different areas near Asia. And it says it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. He's writing to five different areas near Asia to Christians. And so the letter of 1 Peter is actually to a group of Christians. It's not to a specific church, and it's not to one area. It's to a large area. And so he's writing to Christians. And so I'm going to read the two verses real quick, and then I want to show you what I felt like the Lord was saying here. So this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 2, if you have your Bible or your phone. It says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct." And so we see that Peter here is writing to wives, and he's specifically writing, he's speaking to this crowd of Christians, and he's calling out the women in this crowd who are married, and specifically the people who are married to men that aren't Christians, because he says here, even if some do not obey the word. And the word here is God's word. It's the gospel. And then he says that they would see your respectful and pure conduct. And this word conduct here is more rendered as the way in which you live or the way in which you love and how you conduct yourselves. And so essentially what Peter is saying here and what he's trying to get across in these two verses is that the husbands who aren't believers will become believers, not because their wife told them to become a believer, but because of how she was living her life around them and how she was loving them. And this passage keeps going and it's beautiful and there's so much to pull from. There's like 8 verses here that are just so good. But rather than me focusing on what it's saying here about what it means to be a wife, I just wanted to note how Peter said was the productive way to be bold in our faith. That it's not that we have to say, believe in Jesus, but it's how we love and it's how we live and it's just the way that we carry ourselves as people who believe in Jesus. And I think boldness here looks like being wise in action. It looks like coming to the Lord and asking him, okay, Lord, what are you asking me to do in this situation? Are you asking me to say, hey, do you want to believe in Jesus? Because sometimes that is what he's saying. But oftentimes, it's us living in a way that is out of the ordinary. It's living in a way that's hard to love people who are hard to love. It's living in a way where his love just seeps from every part of our being. And so the world can define boldness as in being loud, as in stating your opinion, as in sharing your faith with a lot of people at once, as in sharing your faith on social media. And don't get me wrong, those things are seriously awesome, and there is a time and a place for them. But when we think about living a bold life for Christ, I would argue that it's the little bold moments that actually truly add up. It's smiling at a complete stranger. It's giving to the GoFundMe of the person who just lost a family member. It's making a meal for the new mom in the community. It's pouring into the next generation, even when it's hard to do. It's getting coffee with, you know, the person who is struggling to find community. I've found myself oftentimes like meeting someone at church and being like, let me find you someone to get coffee with, rather than just asking them myself. Like, come on, Allison, like just ask them to get coffee and be the person that makes them feel seen. And that is a small act of boldness, right? Like a lot of times we just write those moments off. But small acts of boldness reflect the character and the image of Jesus more beautifully sometimes than just like trying to get as much people as you can to like hear the gospel, because most people are more transformed by the love of Jesus, of encountering it through a human being, than just being told it and hearing it from their ears. You know what I'm talking about? Amazing. Okay, I want to look at another passage that where Jesus specifically calls out like a quiet boldness in someone. And it's the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10. And I'm sure that some of you have maybe read this passage before, maybe some of you haven't, but I'm gonna read it and then point out some key things in this passage. So this is Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And it was funny because, that was the end of the passage, by the way. It's funny because when I was reading this, I felt the Lord tell me to like go and look at this passage while I was preparing for the message. And I was like, no, like that's not the story I think that I'm supposed to share for this message. Like, I don't think that has anything to do with boldness. Like, why are you asking me, Lord, to like go to this passage? But I went and I read, and I felt like the Lord kind of opened my eyes to something new that I hadn't seen here before. And it was that Martha was trying to be bold by serving. Martha thought that being bold was serving Jesus, was being loud, was getting the house ready, was doing all of the things for Jesus. And so at first glance, we think that Martha is the one here trying to be bold and who's being bold. But when we look at the context and we look at Mary's life, it actually was unusual or even improper back in the day for a woman to sit at a rabbi's feet. Like, she should not have been doing that in cultural norms. A woman was not supposed to be at a rabbi's feet. But yet she chose to be bold in her faith to sit at Jesus' feet in a room of people and say, I don't care what cultural norms are telling me to do right now. I know that being at Jesus' feet is where I'm supposed to be. It was this bold act of devotion to the Lord. And I just thought that was so beautiful. And I know that this, you know, there's so much we can get out of this passage, right? Especially as women. And that was one that just like really struck me. And even Jesus was emphasizing here a quiet boldness, right? This boldness that it takes to actually sit with him and be with him before we ever go and actually do something for him that is seen and that is out in the world. And I want to just keep emphasizing, I'm not saying that there's not a time and a place for big boldness that looks more like what we assume is boldness, right? And how the world defines it. There 100% is a time and a place for that. But there are just opportunities for us every single day, rather than like waiting for some big opportunity of boldness to come. There's opportunities every single day for us to live in quiet boldness, for us to step into those areas that are hard for us to do, like when we're at the grocery store, even when we're with kids or our husbands, like taking those quiet steps of boldness where you're not trying to make it seen, but it's just this heart posture of you with Jesus. Those are the instances that can really make an impact. And so I want to share with you guys a story of my mother-in-law. I feel so blessed to have a mother-in-law who's literally my best friend and my mentor. I love her to death. She is just absolutely incredible. She is so bold for the Lord. And she does preach and she does teach. And she lives in a way, though, that is a quiet boldness about her. And so she's one of five. She has two brothers, two sisters. And their parents passed away when they were really young. And my mother-in-law's the oldest. So she kind of felt like she had to take care of everyone after that happened. And that was obviously really messy, really hard, and so some of the kids have walked away from the Lord, one being one of her brothers. Well, a few months ago, she went up to help him after he was recovering from a knee surgery, and her eyes were open to just how broken his life was. He lived in this tiny apartment in Seattle, has no friends, is just someone who has isolated himself from the world, wants nothing to do with the Lord, you know, will listen to what my mother-in-law shares with him of what the Lord's doing in her life, but he just doesn't want anything to do with Christianity. And my mother-in-law was there, and she felt this crazy invitation, and I know this is gonna sound a little weird, but I promise it's so beautiful and so cool. So he, unfortunately, was going through some times of, you know, masking pain through smoking weed, and he had this place in his apartment where he would sit and do it while my mother-in-law was in the apartment with him. And one day he was out of the house and she literally felt the Lord ask her to circle his chair 7 times and like declare that he would be broken from like needing to go to this to like help him feel better. And then she left and flew home, and as she flew home, she told him that the Lord was chasing after him. And she's never said anything like that before. She felt like the Holy Spirit just put it in her, and she said it, and then she got home, and she's like, Allison, I don't know why I said that. I felt like a crazy person. But y'all, that was like 6+ months ago, and he has been texting and calling her every day for the past few weeks, wanting to know about God. and he's moved from Seattle since then. He lives in Montana now, and he is reading books. He is praying. He's saying things like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that the Lord's voice sounded like my own voice. I didn't know it was just this voice in my head. And y'all, he hasn't been able to get high ever since she left his house. Isn't that crazy? And I know that's such like a silly story, but it's powerful that she chose to be obedient to the Lord to do this, and look at how it had an impact on her brother's life. A prayer she'd been praying for years and years and years for him to be saved, and he is now. And like, even I'm still kind of in shock that he's saved. Like, he's one of those people where you're like, oh man, Lord, like, can you really like save that person? You know what I mean? And like, he did, and it wasn't because my mother-in-law was preaching the gospel to him. It was because she loved her brother who was broken, and she just emulated the Lord's love to him. And so I share that with you guys to emphasize small, bold moments of reflecting God's love to others that are seen or unseen truly go further than we'll ever know. And I just think that that's so powerful that the Lord works that way. So, I told you guys I wanted to leave you with two things that you can implement today. The first is that before you focus on the doing, focus on the being. Make being with the Lord your priority. When we look at the disciples, right, before they ever did anything for Jesus, they followed him. They dropped everything to be with him, to be in his presence, to learn from him. And I think just in our world today, in Christianity in general, it can be easy to say, okay, I'm following Jesus now and I'm gonna go do all these things for him. But as someone who has been in public ministry for over 6 years now, I'll be honest with you guys, like, there have been seasons of my life where I've been more consumed with what I'm doing for the Lord than how much I'm actually spending time with him and prioritizing that. And praise God that he woke me up to that pretty quickly. And I've been able to change just kind of how I live my life. But there's nothing better than being with the Lord. We'll never regret a minute that we spend with him. And I know I'm speaking to a group of moms, and as I will say, I'm like, you know, I have a baby in heaven, but I consider myself a mom, although I don't have an earthly child. But hey, I'm a pediatric nurse, so that does a lot too. And all my best friends literally have little ones, so I feel like I'm their second mom. And so what I did was I asked my friends, like, how do you spend time with the Lord? Because I'm gonna speak to a group of moms and I'm not there yet. Like, I can wake up early, have my coffee, and read my Bible in the mornings. And I know that someday, hopefully soon, that won't be the case for me. And I know that that's probably not the case for most of you right now to like have that time, right? And so some ideas they gave me was Dwell Bible app. Have you guys heard of the Dwell Bible app? It's an app that you can download. Oh, you might have to pay for it. There's probably a free version, but I'd say it's worth the investment. You can have the Bible read over you. So you can listen to scripture while you're walking, while you're breastfeeding, while you're driving your car. They have kid versions. They have like a kid's Bible. They have devotionals. Like, it is a beautiful resource. And my friends who are new moms have been using that recently. You can pray while breastfeeding, pray while you're driving your kids, invite your kids into prayer with you in the car. There are ways to implement talking to the Lord with children who might be screaming and might be bugging you like crazy, but it is so worth it to implement that time, to schedule time with the Lord in our schedules. And I know that it's so easy to, like, for me, it's the gym. I put it in my Google Calendar, I still don't go. And it's like those things that like we need to do the most are the hardest to get done sometimes. But every time that I've spent with the Lord, every single moment, I've never regretted. I've never been like, oh, I wish I would have, you know, been doing my laundry already. Wish I would have been on my way to soccer practice already. Like, there is nothing better than spending time with him. He's so worth our time. And just to have like an assessment, take the time to like assess your life, you know, what does being with Jesus look like for you right now on a daily basis? Is it a daily basis thing right now? It might not be, and that's okay, because the Lord is just always inviting us deeper. He's never wanting to shame us. He only wants to invite us deeper with him. Just ask yourself, you know, are you carving out time for him? Is it something that you're looking forward to? Do you find yourself talking to him daily when you're walking, when you're driving? Are you having communication with him in your mind? Are you rooted in the word? And so it's just good to assess that in our lives, because obviously life happens, things happen, and things can just get out of whack sometimes. Priorities can become not priorities, and we just might need to be like, okay, Lord, like, where are you inviting me to make a shift right now in my schedule? And he's so kind to speak to us, because it's his desire to be with us. It's his desire to speak to you. He's not just like waiting for you to get everything together and then he'll speak to you. Like, he's always desiring to talk to us. The second tangible thing you guys can take away is asking the Lord what boldness looks like for you in this season. Because as I'm sure you guys are catching on, like, boldness for you and the person next to you is gonna be different in this season and in 2 years and in 10 years, right? Like, our lives fluctuate so much, and where the Lord is inviting us to be bold right now is gonna look different from me to you. And that's beautiful, right? We don't want everyone to look the same and like have the same lives and be doing the same things. The way that he needs you to be boldness might be to this one specific person that only you have connection to in this room, which is so beautiful. And what I think can be dangerous is when we see people on social media telling us to be bold like them and feeling like we need to do that before we actually ask the Lord if that's what he's telling us to do. We don't want to be doing things in the name of Jesus for the sake of ourselves. And I think that that's personally what I've seen cause some like church hurt or just some unhealthy things, is when we're like trying to do things for the Lord because we're trying to copy someone who is doing things for the Lord because he told them to do that, but he didn't quite tell us to do that, if that makes sense. Like, it's always important that we check in with the Lord and say, hey, are you actually asking me to do this right now? Or is this my flesh saying, okay, I should be doing this? Because we always want to be walking in step with the Spirit. And so the Lord may be calling you into something really big in this season. And maybe you're thinking about that right now. You're like, I wanna focus on the quiet, bold moments, but oh, I know the Lord has told me to do this, and it's kind of big and it's kind of scary. Well, I would say listen to that and be obedient to it. But then maybe some of you are like, the Lord's definitely not asking me to do anything big and bold right now, and I feel like I'm supposed to just live in this quiet boldness like you're talking about. And I would say, listen to that and be obedient to that. Your boldness will look different than the woman next to you, and that is so beautiful. And it's so kind of the Lord to know each of us so individually and to know our giftings that he's given us and to then empower us to walk in those and to be strengthened by his Spirit as we follow his lead in our lives.